So I uncovered something really important recently, that after the back nine is over and we move on to heaven, we are in fact reunited with our loved ones, friends, and pets that have passed, and all of our socks that have disappeared over our lifetime.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, all of those single socks.
I'm missing so many.
Let's head to the back nine.
This is the Back Nine with Dennis Williams and Josh Mora.
Hello, my friends. It's a mountain of socks. Like, when you get to heaven, there's just literally, I don't know what happens to them. I really don't. Like, how do you have so many single socks? These are back nine problems.
These are, I have so many. And I know the dog takes them sometimes. Some get sucked into the, you know, the dryer vent or something, and they disappear into the ether. I'm so glad I missed them. I'm glad I'm going to get to see them again.
Right, right. Well, we're turning the corner into spring. How are things going with you?
Well, it's in Florida. It's sandal season, which means we don't need the socks. So that's right. A good thing. I know things are good. I'm excited about what's ahead. I'm excited about spring being here.
The traffic is brutal, though.
Well, it's about to lessen up because the snowbirds go north soon.
I know. But yeah, people, I mean, this is a global podcast. So people are not relating to the traffic in Florida right now. But we are.
We are. It's where we are.
We are global.
We can only start with our own authenticity.
Yeah. We are global. Have you recently looked at how many countries
we're in? I did. You know, we talked about that in one of the previous opens. But I think at the time we recorded that one, we had 10 or 12. And now it's 18 or 20. It's exciting.
Right. It really is. Well, this is exciting for me. Do you know why I'm wearing this hat today?
I do.
It's not Harvard, even though
everybody knows this, Dennis. It's not Harvard. Of course, it isn't Harvard.
It is a Hamilton hat,
yes.
And it's for Hamilton College. And you are authentically wearing your Amherst purple.
This is not Amherst purple. This is more like a lavender. We have a royal purple, but it's the best
you guys
I could do.
I think of you guys as lavender.
Well, you would. I mean, you know, I suppose we deserve that after your age approximating Harvard, not at all, but
yeah.
Okay.
Well, my good friend Scott Kelsey, who I've actually known longer than you, because I've known him since the early 90s, well on the front nine when we were college fraternity brothers together. He played on the hockey team. I wasn't good enough to play on the hockey team, so I broadcast all the games and traveled with them. I always tell everybody, Scott, you guys had a curfew and I didn't when we visited all those schools. So, and I was up in the booth doing the play-by-play, maybe once in a while, just a little hungover, but always called a good game. And you were front and center, man, one of the best defensemen on those teams, a year behind me, but you were quite the player, Kels. Have you hung up the skates or are you still skating? Welcome to the show, Scott.
Oh no! Thanks for having me. I'm not wearing socks, so less of a chance of losing one. I've been coaching. I haven't been actively playing in any adult leagues the last 5 or 6 years, so, but actively on the ice a bunch, coaching my daughter and son.
Well, it's great to have you. And again, Josh had a cup of coffee playing hockey in Amherst.
We didn't play against each other.
No,
at the time, even though we were in the same conference for other sports and hockey, we weren't. Which is, I'm sure. You probably would have liked playing against me more than I would have liked playing against you, but not because I wouldn't have liked playing against you, but because you're a better player. Obviously, because you ended up playing pro hockey, right, for a little bit?
I did. I was like fortunate enough to play a handful of years after college.
Yeah, you played in the East Coast League and a couple other professional hockey leagues, so that was great. Kels, again, great to have you on the show. One of the things that the hockey does, and really sports in general do, is they create these communities. I mean, I know you're still so close to your former teammates. Josh had one of his former teammates on our first season. It's really amazing how tight you guys have stayed. Maybe you could speak to that, just that front nine community that just lingers on into the back nine of your life.
Yeah, that's a great point. And I can attest that, or like a lot of other colleges and universities, the community in of itself is, it stays with you, right? As long as you're staying connected to it. I think a little bit deeper dive in terms of the Hamilton hockey community, whether it's guys you played with or guys you've met at alumni events or guys that I've been up to see playing in the last 10, 15 years. It's really been a valuable resource, not really on the business part, but on the business part as well, but not as much as just you're spending a lot of time together over the course of 4 years. And you learn a lot about one another. You help one another while you're in college. And that bond and that tight-knit community has been very special to me and continues to be special to me post-graduation.
It's such a fun thing, right? To be able to start dreams with a group of people and then see them develop and grow over time. But Scott, we're not just connected through hockey. We could talk about hockey forever. I could anyway. But another thing where we were connected is what you've built with your current company, which is called Sherapy. And I think it's very much aligned with what we do here on the Back Nine. Maybe you could talk about the company just a little bit. I think it'll become clear to our audience why I'm prompting you in this direction. But what the company is and what it does.
Yeah, no, thanks. Yeah, so Sherapy, in a nutshell, is a platform that allows people to experience and understand and benefit from the power of shared lived experiences. So there's a lot of communities out there in general, but there's also a lot of life stages that we all go through, whether it's graduating college, whether it's a loss of a loved one, whether it's a new child transitioning out of athletics, military. There's a lot of them out there. And there's also a lot of resources out there. One of the most helpful resources we found, both in my experience and others who have been involved, as well as some of the betas we've done, is that of just giving people a platform where they feel comfortable, safe, and are willing to share those experiences. And from those experiences, there tends to be more relatability with people who are going through similar struggles or have gone through those. And there seems to be, it fosters growth, it fosters more meaningful connection, and it fosters healing. So that's essentially it in a nutshell. Supporting communities, providing resources for mental health and wellness, personal growth. And it's all done on a safe, secure, facilitated environment. And we're really excited about what we've done and where we're going with this.
So talk about the facilitator part, because it's one thing that's kind of what Josh and I do with the show, right? We facilitate discussions about these kinds of things, but these are bigger groups with a facilitator. Maybe take us through the whole, how it works.
Yeah. So our core meeting style, it's facilitated, and our facilitators are put through a training program. So they understand not only the logistics of facilitating a meeting, how to hold, safe space, how to foster meaningful conversations. So they don't have to be clinical support or social workers or therapists. They're people who understand what the community is about. There's people that want to be of service and lend their time to get people on a Zoom, understand again how to create safe space, how to, foster that conversation. And typically in specific communities, let's just say the athlete community, the facilitator has been in athletics in one way, shape, or form. So they've kind of walked in those shoes, so to speak. So going another example would be in our military community, which is gaining some speed right now. Those would be facilitated by either active or military veterans. So there's a little bit more of that relatability.
How do you find that the site is and this opportunity is resonating with your audiences and your consumers and clients? Was there at the beginning, was there demand for it? I mean, was there specific demand or something that created the spark for you? And has that been served? I mean, I recognize it's ongoing, you're continuing to serve it, but are you at least satisfied with the initial results from being able to create these communities?
Yeah, that's a great question. So we've kind of had some slow growth, and that was more calculated in terms of doing research, getting people on board to take a look at our core meeting style, to ramp up the technical capability and the nuances of our platform. And we've had, in the last year and a half, about four or five beta groups run through it. And it solidifies a lot of the stuff that we thought and that I've been through and experienced in terms of the desire to build something that could scale and help a lot of people. So those have been tremendously successful. We really haven't, even to this date, while we've smoothed a lot of the edges and we've had the betas, we really haven't done a lot of marketing and advertising. Mm-hmm. We're prepped and ready to go with that, just to bring more people in to experience it. What I found is that while the name is, I think it speaks very, very well to what we're trying to do. While the name is somewhat foreign, while the concept is somewhat foreign to people, while people will say, why can't you host this sort of thing on other platforms? I found that once people are in and experience it, they don't leave. And it's to the point where in our groups, most people are, if they hear something or they can relate to something and they don't get a chance to share in one of our calls, they have the ability to connect with that person or people that are on the calls or on the Zooms. But a lot of times, if people can't make meetings or something comes up, they're texting me and apologizing and asking for somebody's number. And that just proves to me that the only way to scale it is to build a platform that can do that for them versus texting me and saying, hey, how can I get Dennis's or Josh's number? Because I really want to talk to them. So we're really excited about it. It's just a matter of, as we raise money, allocate more resources to proper marketing, we can get good organic growth, but then we can grow through other mediums such as other channels, marketing, advertising, PR, social media, stuff like that. So we're pretty thrilled with the amount of work and the beta that we've done and the responses we've had. And now we're ramped up to gauge that with a bigger audience.
We'll be right back. Friends, I want to tell you about a really exciting company called Peat Learning. Peat is dedicated to helping organizations of all sizes optimize their training initiatives. They specialize in enabling the development of AI-powered courses, which can then be tailored for all kinds of corporate training needs. Peat Learning offers a suite of customizable and extremely cost-effective solutions that enable companies to deliver personalized workforce learning to their employees. Put simply, Peat is an indispensable partner for any evolving company. So visit Peat Learning at peat.com. That's P-E-T-E.com.
If you need a benefit auctioneer for your next fundraising gala, hire Eric Goodman, who's broken fundraising records all over the country. Josh and I have known Eric for over 30 years, and he's one of the most passionate, energetic, and hardworking people we know. Eric's consulting strategies and successful fundraising techniques is why he raised $1 million in 10 minutes at a recent event. Visit yourfundraisingteam.com to see a video of his work, testimonials, and then book with Eric today so your nonprofit can have a record-breaking night.
All right, back to the show.
Well, you're doing terrific work, especially in, again, I think anything you're doing with the military is tremendous. There's so many people out there that live a kind of a lonely life and need that shared community. So I think that part of it's terrific. Scott, this was inspired in part by an accident you had in 2018, in April of 2018. Maybe you could take us through that. And I know from chatting with you over a period of time how far you've come back from that. So maybe you could kind of take our audience through that doesn't know.
Yeah, no, I'm glad to. And I'll share what I remember. So that may speak to the severity of the injury. So I've lived in the Princeton, New Jersey area for 25 years. And 6 years ago, I was at home later in the evening. My daughter, who was three at the time, was upstairs in bed. My wife was in bed, pregnant with our now 5-year-old son. And I had basically took a fall, a pretty severe fall down our basement stairs. And I don't remember any of it. I don't remember how I tripped, how I fell. All I do know is that I'm pretty blessed that my wife, who's got some pretty good hearing, heard something, went back to bed, and she woke up a little later and thought there was something funny that I wasn't up in bed. And she went down to what she thought saw was her husband dead on the basement floor. So it was a severe TBI. I was rushed to the trauma center. And from there, the healing began.
TBI being traumatic brain injury. So what was that recovery process like? And how did that lead to, over time, creating the communities that you have in Shiripi?
Yeah, it was scary. I don't remember much of it. I'm pretty vague for about 2 to 3 months after. I do have a good neurologist and good doctors, obviously, that were able to at least fend off any other damage to my brain. So learning that and speaking with my doctors, I basically had to shut things down, right? I had no light exposure. I wasn't allowed to drive. I just had to quiet everything to allow time for my brain to heal. I questioned, after having numerous concussions throughout my childhood, college career, and professional career, I was scared. So I was clinging for anything, obviously the guidance of good physicians. And where I really started to realize how valuable it was, and nothing against doctors and such, they saved my life basically, but how much when I started talking and was introduced to other people that had gone through a traumatic brain injury and speaking with them about what their situation looked like, just how valuable that was to me. And I also began to understand how valuable it was to them. You know, for them to share their story and how helpful it was. And that's really where I got on this idea of I'll backtrack a little bit. Midway through my professional career, I was diagnosed with some anxiety and depression, which I handled very poorly for the following 20 plus years. Started to get more involved in mental health advocacy, started to go to some support groups, and I realized just how important that was and how important it continues to be in my recovery.
Well, and you were playing hockey back when concussions weren't even really discussed. You just went back out on the ice, right? Like, nobody took the time back in the 90s to worry about getting hit on the head. So I'm sure kind of the culmination of that made that fall even worse, right? Because you kind of touched on it, the culmination of all the other, you'd had brain injuries before as a hockey player, for sure.
Correct. Yeah. And as much as I know and have been told and read and studied and been told by doctors, it's cumulative, right? It doesn't, I don't feel it. They add up, right? Whether they're within a 6 month period or a 20 year period, they all add up. And yeah, this one was a doozy, and it kind of got me thinking that I needed to take care of some things personally just to give myself the best chance to recover from a pretty serious injury.
So we've talked a lot about Sharapee and like what that means and bringing that community together, but those kind of experiences, and we've kind of touched on this a few times this season, and that is what they do to change just your overall outlook on life. I mean, that when you have something like that, I mean, how much did it shake your core and have you look at the back nine differently, just personally?
Yeah, that's a great question. I did a deep dive. I wasn't allowed to do a lot of things that I had been doing the past 8, 10, 15 years, right? I wasn't grinding away at work. I wasn't managing 25 employees. But I realized that life comes at us fast, right? And things add up. And obviously, my roles and responsibilities at work had gotten bigger as time went on. I had a great family. So that obviously that adds to just responsibilities. And I just realized, and with my deep dive, that I had to correct a few things on my own to limit some of the things that would cause stress and anxiety, right? I had to just do it, totally slow down. And from that, allowed me just to gain a lot of perspective, a lot of gratitude, A, for being here, and B, to be able to have the opportunity to work on some things that I probably had neglected for too long of a time. So from there, that began a lot of self-discovery, a lot of awareness, a lot of gratitude, a lot of appreciation that they were probably just words that I muttered some time in my life, and I really didn't understand the true meaning of them.
Scott, a lot of people who get to that kind of point are asking those kinds of questions or coming to those kinds of realizations. Some of them have gotten there the way you did. Some of them have gotten there just through their own journeys, losses, successes, whatever it might be, the vicissitudes of life. What is the experience like at Sharapee that is different from some of the other tools, or how can Sharapee add to some of the other tools that may be a little bit more known that other people deploy? I'm thinking of things like yoga or meditation or being in nature. So how does Sharapee fit into a broader profile of tools that can help people find their way to better wellness and mental health?
Yeah, great question, Josh. And I think you hit the nail on the head. It's not in replace of, it's in addition to, right? Or if people aren't doing anything, it's something that might bring people the awareness that, hey, getting things off your chest or out of your head is not a bad thing if done properly in the right setting. So I think game for all of them, right? I think anything in terms of improving your health and wellness, longevity, quality of life is great. I think we're doing something that is a little bit foreign, or can be, with all the stigma and the cost of professional care and the time to care. Some people are just floating out there and not understanding that there are other options out there for them to get help. And we're all for clinical support, not against it whatsoever. But there's a lot of people out there that either aren't willing to admit they can look for help, but even on just a more common ground of people that may not have stress, anxiety, we just feel that what we're offering in terms of how we run our meetings and the communities we're setting up and the resources and the people involved just help people process life better.
Well, you should be really proud of what you've done, man. And you've come way back, because I know I've talked to you over the years before the accident, since, and you just come a long way, man. And I know it's that hockey determination. It's that competitor in you that's just woke up and said, I'm not going to let this thing define me. I'm not going to let this thing be the end of the road for me. So you should be really proud of what you're building and who you are right now on the back nine, because it's pretty impressive, buddy. I've known you a long time, and I'm super impressed with what you're doing.
Thanks. That's very kind. And I appreciate all you're doing and how you guys are going and kind of your vision in terms of how you can provide something for people to listen to, watch that really can make a difference in their lives.
So how can people find you? Just give us a quick rundown of Sharapee and how people can find you.
Yeah. So the easiest thing, if you want to go, I mean, our site's up and active. That's just at Sharapee.com. I don't know if you need to throw the www in anymore, but it's Sharapee.com. And on there, if people want to do a deeper dive, there's ways to hit. I think it's info@Sharapee.com, but that's all with the site. And really, right now, I'm fine. If, you know, very simple, Scott@Sharapee.com. Right now, I'm willing, able, and would love to entertain any more questions that anybody might have about what we're doing.
And, that's awesome.
And just to clarify, it's the word share and then APY, like the end of the word therapy, Sharapee.com.
Right. That is correct.
Right. Yep.
Beautiful. Fantastic. Scott, thank you so much for being on with us.
Let's lace them up sometime, huh?
100%. All right. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, buddy.
Thanks,
see you later. Well, it was really great. I mean, he's obviously been through a lot. And I actually hadn't thought about it until this moment. I knew about his accident, and I had not thought about how much that probably affected him more than a lot of people because of the hockey background, because of the multiple concussions that he had gone through in his lifetime. Because if you're a hockey player, you have concussions. It's not even an option to not have one. So, and in the 90s, nobody cared. He went back out and played. He didn't rest. Right.
That was just the time when it was starting to come into consciousness, no pun intended.
Yeah, we know exactly when it really got, when Pat LaFontaine got hit in
the late 90s. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, 90s, yeah. So, yeah, I think I didn't even realize that. But for him to get to that point, they say everything happens for a reason. For him to get to that point and then turn it into this is really awesome.
Taking what he's done away from just, as he has done, just from an injury leading to wellness, my takeaway here is that the global need for wellness in all its forms, we started this podcast for the same reason in many ways that he started Sharapee, which was just to have some kind of companionship and camaraderie through difficult emotional times in life, changes in careers, changes in marriage status, etc. And there's so many other reasons to find a community. If you're resistant to a formal program, there's reasons to be, because they're not for everybody and they can be expensive.
Expensive, yeah.
Right? But there are communities that are, and resources that are there just to be able to talk, whether it's Sharapee or listening to this podcast or things like Al-Anon, where you can just jump into a meeting for free, or any of the anonymous things, Alcoholics, Narcotics Anonymous, if that's an issue for you. Or just being lonely, right? There are these communities that can be supportive if you don't have that close friend group that you feel comfortable sharing with or being vulnerable with together.
Well, or even if you do, because that friend group might not have the commonality of this group, right? And it's more than just a place where you can go and talk. It's a place where you can go listen.
For sure.
And hear what other people have been through that are similar to you, have been through similar, whether it is, and again, I keep coming back to where a big lane for Sharapee is and is going to continue to be our military and first responders. I mean, I just feel like that community needs that shared group, particularly in the military community, where you have that macho sort of, a lot of times, I can take care of myself mentality. And the more you hear about men and women sharing their experiences and listening to each other and knowing they're not alone, and maybe even talking about what kind of holistic medication is helping you. Are you taking the right kind of, like, CBD or whatever, those kinds of things? If you're hearing that from someone else, it gives you the confidence to take that kind of therapy holistically to make your life better. So I just think there's just a huge opportunity there with these shared groups.
You know, it's such a good point you're making, because therapy is often for a one-on-one. It's not exclusively that, but for a one-on-one, you and a therapist, the therapist guiding you to your own inner discovery. And that's different from being in a group where you hear that other people are having similar or the same experiences that you are. And again, I know this from having gone to Al-Anon in support of someone close to me who was going through some issues with alcohol, hearing the other stories of people who were trying to support their loved ones and how frustrating it could be, and how you're sharing their difficult experiences as well as their successes was really positively impactful for me. And I know that Sharapee is doing the same in a variety of different kind of constructs and over a variety of different kinds of topics for its audiences.
Yeah, it's an amazing opportunity. Again, it's share, the word share, APY, just like the end of therapy. So Sharapy.com. Check it out. Visit that site. And maybe you want to be a part of a group. And hopefully you want to continue to be a part of this group called the Back Nine Podcast, because we'd love to have you along for the ride. And we'll talk to you next time. We're really happy that you could join us today on the Back Nine Podcast, and we're really trying to build a community.
Yeah, so please not only listen, subscribe, follow us, download, share with your friends that you found something in our community here.
We really, really appreciate everybody who's downloaded even a single episode and shared the time with us. We know your time is valuable. Please also give us a 5-star review if you can. Thanks so much.
So I've mentioned Three Bridges Consulting. What they do is they market your company. They lead the creative. They find the audience. What they produce, commercials, social media content, possibly even documentaries. It's long form. It's short form. One recent success story, working with a home services company in Chicago, the company that refaces cabinets. They launched a campaign in January. They had 5 times the revenue of their previous January and $1 million more in revenue than in any prior month after they launched this campaign. Once again, it's Three Bridges Consulting. The number 3, bridgesconsulting.co. The Back Nine is lovingly organized by Janine Stella and recorded at Pixelworks Studios in Delray Beach, Florida.